Well, praise God. How's everybody doing this morning? Everybody have a good Thanksgiving? How many of y'all ate too much? Glory to God, you're forgiven. You're absolved. Sugar is gone. Calories have been consumed. We'll live to eat another day. Amen. Well, praise God. Get your Bibles out. And if you would, go to the book of Galatians with me, first of all. For you note takers, this is going to be a part. I'm going backwards instead of forwards. I'm continuing on with the message I did a while back called This Present Evil Age. And the title of this message today is Fools, Liars, and Thieves. So, this is the first time I've got to minister to you since the election. I've been gone the last two Sundays. Praise God. Y'all miss me? Okay. But you had good preachers in here, so praise God. And a fiddle player. I want to make a declaration that this is the only church ever on the face of the earth that had the Orange Blossom special played on Sunday morning. I think that brought us up in the ranks of the world. Praise God. Right up at the top, I'm telling you. Jesus said, come on, play it again. We're going to have some more of that. If I was you, I'd be here on the next third Sunday. So, anyway, let me read this scripture to you. Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. It says, grace to you and peace from God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God, the Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So I want to talk to you about this present evil age. And I want you to go to another scripture here. Go to the book of Ecclesiastes, right after Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 5. I want to read a scripture there to you. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1. It says, walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that what they do is evil. The sacrifice of fools. I was reading that the other day, and it just like that leaped off the page to me, the sacrifice of fools. Now, when Solomon's talking about this, he's talking about people that came to church. Y'all with me? Because he says, be careful when you go into the house of God that you don't offer the sacrifice of fools. Hello? So it made me start thinking about the sacrifice of fools. Got me to thinking about what a fool is. Got me to thinking about this present evil age that we're living in and the things that are going on, the things that are taking place. And I got to thinking about an illustration. Let me ask y'all this morning, and you can give me a show of hands. You're not going to be called down. How many of y'all have a deer feeder out this morning? Put your hands up. I want to see that. Okay, so we got a good many of the congregation this morning. You got corn in it probably, right? If you can afford it. Yeah. Starting to mix half rocks and half corn just to make the noise in the other congregation. Yeah. Half pea gravel and half corn. And so what is the purpose of a deer feeder? Right? I mean, you throw corn out because deer like to eat corn, right? And so then, you know, then deer comes up to eat the corn and then you shoot the deer to eat the deer. Are y'all with me? Is this not what we do? You bait this deer up to shoot him. All right? And just to put this so we can all understand it, the deer feeder of this present evil age is slinging corn out left and right, except we're the deer. I mean, he's throwing out protein, throwing out corn, throwing out everything he can in the feeder right now to attract as many people as he can. And the poor, stupid deer, us, don't know, unless we've got our eyes open and our hearts open, that we're about to get shot. Hello? Boy, it's an encouraging message, isn't it? Make you want to jump up and shout, hallelujah. You know, I was talking to the Lord this morning about this, and I said, you know, Jesus, why? I mean, you know, it'd be nice just to go preach a nice little fluff message, feel-good message, make everybody feel good and walk out there. But if I don't tell you the truth, if I don't speak bluntly and straightly to you, then I don't want to get to heaven and find out that, you know, you got shot under the feeder. And I could have told you, don't eat the corn. All right? And so, you know, I just want to speak bluntly and just say it like it is, okay? So, if you go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 8, I want to show you what's happening. I want to give you an unfolding of, I want to go ahead and show you what the devil's plan is, okay? I just want to lay it out in front of you so you can see it for yourself. Nothing, Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. Listen to me, the things that are going on right now in this life, in America, in the world today, in people's hearts and lives, it is not anything new. It's not. Listen to me, church, there's not something new. There's not something new been invented. Something didn't fly down from Mars. It didn't find something on Mars, and it came to earth, and we've never seen it before. This is just the present evil age. This is the devil's tricks, the devil's ways, of everything he can do, because what he wants to do is take as many people to hell, away from God, away from the things of God as he possibly can. And that's just what's taking place. All right? So it says in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 10 through 22. It says, so Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king. Now, let me stop for a second. Let me give you a little history. If you go back and you read the book of Judges, the nation of Israel had been ruled for hundreds of years by judges. And what they were was basically a lot like our state representatives are in the sense that the people had put out a person from their tribe, their clan, that they thought was a good person. And that person had gone up before the priest and they had gone and basically anointed them and said, okay, you're going to be the representative. So everything that was done, people had problems, had any, you know, fights, disputes, or whatever, they came before the judges, and the judges judged them. They were supposed to be upstanding, godly men who were set in the place to do that. Okay, that was the principle. But at this time that this is being written here in the book of Samuel, the people got uneasy, and the people didn't like the way that they were being judged by, partially because the judges had become corrupt, and they had started letting people get in there, and Samuel had put his sons in there, and they were corrupt, and that corrupt men began to make judgment. So they said, listen, the people began to revolt. So we don't want this system of rule anymore. We want a king. We want to go to a monarchy. We want to have a king up there that he rules for us, and we want him to be king. And so this is what comes about. God's talking to Samuel, and this is what he tells him. I'm back to verse 10. So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king. And he said, this is the behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots and to be his horsemen. And some will run before his chariots, and he will appoint captains over his thousands and captains over his fifties, and set some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest, and some to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers, and he will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, and your olive groves, and he will give them to his servants. And he will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give to the officers and the servants. And he will take of your male servants and his female servants and your finest young men and your donkeys, and he'll put them all to work. He'll take a tenth of your sheep, and you will be his servants. Everybody say, and you'll be his servants. And you will cry out in that day because of your king whom you have chosen, whom you have chosen, whom you have chosen, whom you have chosen for yourselves, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, no, but we will have a king over us. that we may also be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. So Samuel heard all the word of the people, and he repeated them unto the hearing of the Lord. So the Lord said to Samuel, okay, heed their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said to the men of Israel, go every man to his city. I could just right now say, amen, let's bow our heads and pray and go home. Is that not the age that we're in right now? Is that not the age? Everybody's saying, you know, it may not be saying a king, but they're saying we want a government to be ruling over us. We want we want all these rules, and we want all these restrictions, and we want this, and we want this to be, and y'all, we just want them to handle it. Y'all just handle it. We just want to live. We just want to have fun. We just want to go and do whatever we fleshly want to go and do, and that's just what we want to go do, and that's what we want. And God says, all right, give them a king. Oh, by the way, when they're crying out, I ain't listening. That's a sad state of affairs, folks. All right. So let me give you some history. You can go check me out because I'm not going to take too long for me to go through all this and give you chapters and verses and books to look at. But from this point on, Saul became king, and then, you know, David became king, and then Solomon became king, and then if you go on down through all the, you read all through the Bible, you know, then the Solomon's son, and then it's the son of Solomon, the son of Solomon, just kept going, right? It stayed in a monarchy of the lineage of the king being whoever had the blood got to be it, or whatever sibling killed the other one off got to be king, right? Okay, so that system of rule went through the world, okay? I was doing some research on looking at countries to see when, if countries that ever, besides America, had open gun laws. And I was just looking at countries, and I was just so amazed to find that at different periods of time that everything changed in those countries. Around the 1900s, a lot of countries in Europe changed because of World War I, and they enacted gun laws and began to take guns away from people. And then 60s, there was a lot. 50s, there was a lot. 40s, there was a lot of different countries that just started indoctrinating this. And up until 2000, there were some other, the last of the countries that came in, and that, you know, America stands as the only country left that free men have the right to own a gun to defend themselves. We're the only ones. There's no other country that I know of that has the freedom and the liberties that we have, okay? And so I was looking at this process of history and about how the people from this day on had developed this system of being raised under a king, and had been, it changed their mind and their thinking to where it seemed to be the norm. And if there was a good king ruling, well then, you know, the people were blessed and everything was good in those days. They didn't realize after a while that they had lost liberty, that they were really living as servants of the king, exactly what this thing says. Because if things were easy, well then they just went in and they just lived their lives, and they just lived for the length of life that they had children, tried to just eat, drink, and be merry as much as they could, and then died off, and then, you know, a new king would come in. He may be really bad, and then, you know, the people would all scream about the king, the king's terrible, the king's horrible, but nothing ever really changed. Now, I'm putting thousands of years of history into just a nutshell here, but go check it out. So then you get all the way up until the Protestant Reformation, where people started really, you know, it came out of the Dark Ages and the Protestant Reformations in the 1500s, 1600s, and people started reading the Word of God for the very first time, and hearing the Word of God preached for the very first time, and thinking for themselves for the very first time, and finding that what they had been taught really wasn't the truth, and that they began to have liberty in the sense of liberty in the spirit, liberty of knowing what was going on in the world, liberty of knowing what was happening, what really God meant for us to be living under. And then Protestant Reformation takes place, and we go through all those years of that. And then finally, you know, it gets squelched down again. But under all this whole time, listen to me, there was a king. It's been since this day, there was a king. And Like I said, under good kings, things went better, and under bad kings, things were worse. And then all of a sudden, some guys decide that they're going to get out. Again, y'all just forgive me for simplifying this. I'm just, you know. Then some people decide they're going to get out, and the Puritans got out because they wanted religious freedom. They wanted to worship God the way that they wanted to worship God. And they got on a boat, and it took a hard trip, and took a hard ride, and ended up, landed up there in Plymouth, right? Y'all following the story? And they get off, and it's a new world, and it's brand new. It's brand spanking new. There's nothing here. There's no government. There's no anything. And so they're going to set up a rule of government because people have to have laws. You can't just, there has to be laws. You can't just say everybody can go do what everybody wants to go do, and it's all because somebody's going to have the sick thought or want just, you know, every day to, you know, don't go deer hunting, go people hunting. You know? I mean, I'm glad there's laws. I was driving the other day on I-10, and I mean, you can't imagine if I'd had a rocket launcher in my truck, what I could have done. But thank God there's laws that say you cannot, with a rocket launcher, shoot somebody off the road, you know, that's in your way. Okay, so there's got to be laws to keep people like myself under submission. Okay, and so they set up a law, and you can go back and you can read all this and look at it, but when they set up the law, they decided, hey, let's just make everything equal. Let's live a socialist economy. Let's live under socialism. Go look it up. Very first thing that they did, they set up everything in common. So everybody had everything in common. They had all the land in common. They had all their seed in common. They had all their storage houses in common. Everything was in common. So there was no rich man. There was no poor man. Everybody had everything in common. And you know what happened? They starved to death that winter. I mean, folks, I'm just telling you, history of America. You go read it. They starved to death. You know why they starved to death? Because old Frank over here that was really industrious and he really was smart and he was really a good guy said, you know, golly, why would I want to go work my rear end off when, you know, old Sam over there, he ain't doing squat. He's just waiting for the house to get full over there, the storage house, and he's going to eat his fill like I'm going to get to eat my fill, and he's going to get a bag and I'm going to get a bag, and I may have to work, I may have produced 10 bags, but I'm going to have to give him 9, and I'm not going to do it. So he didn't work as hard as he could. He wasn't as industrious as he could. And all of a sudden, the guy comes up and they get to think, you know what? This ain't working too well, boys. So they came up with the Mayfair Compact. They put all that in place. They put in some. They said, we're going to change this up. Now, I'm going to give you the land. It's yours. And you do with it whatsoever you want. And right there is how America got birthed. Because a man had a piece of land, and he could do anything he wanted to with that piece of land. And as he worked it, and prospered, if he was smart enough to get that land to produce 10 sacks of grain, he got 10 sacks of grain. He'd sell off 9, eat 1, have the profit. Then he opened up a general store. Then he decided he'd buy some everybody else's grain. And then he'd buy it for this and sell it for that. And he got industrious. And the old guy over there that sat there that was still wanting to just get one bag for free, you know what happened to him? He basically died off. If you look at everything about why is America different than every place in the world is because we set up a different system in our lives that we did not want a king to reign over us. We wanted men to take personal responsibilities for their lives and then to be able to prosper or to fail, but by our own hand. Okay? So you look over the world today and we're it. There ain't nobody else. We are the last bastion of faith, the last fort of democracy. We are the last of its kind that has ever been and ever will be. And the devil hates it. Listen to me, folks. You got to get out of the thinking of liberals and conservatives, Republicans and Democrats. You have got to put this into the proper perspective. This is good and this is evil. This is God. And this is a devil. The good news is 50% of America thinks like we do. You're not alone. Right? You're not alone. And the thing that we got to come into an understanding about is this present evil age, it wants to delude people to come to the deer feeder, to get as many coming to the deer feeder. Now, how many of y'all know that if you're sitting there hunting and you shoot every squirrel that came out to eat a piece of corn, you shot the first deer you saw, you shot just to shoot, you shot just to make noise, that, you know, you're not going to get the big fish. You're not going to get the big buck, right? What do you do when you hunt? The whole object is to be quiet, right? Maybe even wear scent and things to keep your scent from getting in the air and make sure that everything, you're trying to do everything as underhanded and sneaky as you possibly can. I'm just preaching really good, I'm telling you. To get you big buck baited to the feeder so he can shoot him. And I'm telling you, wake up. These are the days of the evil age that wants to come upon us to get us to go to the feeder, and you're going to get shot. Okay. What I'm saying is, I'm putting it into three things here. The first one is what I'm saying is, when you begin to get an ear or a mouth that's tasty for that corn, and you're going to it all the time, and that's where you're going back to, what's happening to you is you're becoming a fool. Now, let's look at what the Bible says about fools, okay? Psalms 14:1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, and there is none that doeth good. Does it not amaze you that how much they're trying to get God out of everything? Now, you know, I just saying, coming up at Christmas, I don't understand how come we can celebrate every other day of the year, but we want to celebrate Christians as Christmas being the birth of Christ, and it, all of a sudden it just gets to be the horrible, abominable thing of putting up that wretched, wicked nativity scene. And I'm like, you mean to tell me you're going to throw a fit over some wise men, camels and some donkeys and a little manger and a little bitty baby, and he's got you so scared? That little bitty baby's got you so scared. I mean, an offensive thing. Oh, you can have a naked woman on television. Oh, that ain't no big deal. Or worse. Oh, yeah. Commercials now, unbelievable. Yeah, that's not offensive. That little baby in that nativity scene, whoo, get him out of there. Oh, that offends me so much. I'm like, really? You got to be kidding me. See, I have a hard time. I'm pretty well set in my thinking. My head is like this pulpit. And it's just certain things I can't wrap my head around. Y'all with me? And I just can't get into that thinking, because it's like, that's so foreign from me. But that baby, oh my God, get that baby out of here. All right? Just 10 commandments. I mean, oh my Lord. You'd think you got Satan on the end of a stick out there. But a fool says there's no God. So the last thing a fool wants is for anything to be pointing in the direction of a God. So right off the bat, if you want to know who's a fool, just find out who doesn't want God on the scene. Now, maybe I need to back up just a minute, because I hear this argument in my head. You see, if you're looking on from the other side of the deal, say, no, it's not that we don't want y'all to have a nativity scene. It's just that we don't believe that government should have anything to do with putting a nativity scene up, because then that's saying that government's for God. And I say, yeah, that's what's wrong. Government's supposed to be for God. It's supposed to be in God we trust. Well, but we need to be free for everyone to come in. Yeah, come on in. Come on in to America. Come on in and live in this great land that we live. But this is a Christian nation based upon the founding fathers who were Christians. And we've turned to God and looked to God, and that's why America works. Okay, so that's where I'm coming from. So if you say, well, that's what's wrong with you, thank God that's what's wrong with me. All right? So, I love this one. It's from the Good News Translation. It's Proverbs 26:3. It says, you have to whip a horse, and you have to bridle a donkey, and you have to beat a fool. I just had to throw that one in there. Yeah, that's the New King James Version. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. I don't know. I don't have anything to say else but that. I like this one, too, out of the Good News Translations, Psalms 14:1. It says it a little bit differently. It's what I just read a while ago. A fool says, there is no God. They are all corrupt. They have done terrible things. There is none who does what is right. A fool says to themselves, there is no God. A fool says to themselves. Nobody told them there wasn't a God, but a fool said to himself, you know, there ain't no God. The problem with fools is fools always reason in their own heart without taking any proper information to know what's right and what's wrong. You know, you sit there and you tell yourself that piece of white paper is black, and you tell yourself long enough that, you know, you'll finally convince yourself of it. But if you go ask two or three, the Bible says, take the counsel of many if you want wisdom, you know. But a fool always says to themselves, you see, fools want to talk to themselves. Fools agree with themselves. And listen to me, you're in trouble if you're only agreeing with yourself. You have to know that what yourself is thinking lines up with something. Right? Okay. Proverbs 17:16 says, it does a fool no good to spend money on an education because he has no common sense. I like that one too. Put that one up there. Proverbs 17:16. Let's see what the other translation says on it. Why is there in the hand of a fool the purchase price of wisdom since he has no heart for it? But I just love the way this one has. It says, it does a fool no good to spend money on an education because he has no common sense. Here's another one out of the Good News Translation. It's Proverbs 14:8. It says, why is a clever person wise? Because he knows what to do. Why is a stupid person foolish? Because he only thinks he knows. Because he only thinks he knows. And I'm telling you what, I was having fun with this one. A fool tells himself what's right. This is a quote from Robert Richards. A fool tells himself what's right. They don't care what common sense says or what sound wisdom is. A fool just says, oh, well, this is right. I heard the other day a person giving a definition of liberty, and I was really shocked. Because to me, liberty is the freedom to be able to live your life the way you choose to live your life without any external forces coming in to tell you that what you have to do. I mean, I'm just putting that kind of a... No. But their definition of liberty was, oh, no. It's for all people to be accepting to everything that everybody else wants to do. And I'm like, wow, that's a scary thought. Because where I tell you what's happening and where we're going is somebody eventually is going to get it down to where they can marry their dog. And I'll have to perform human dog weddings or something. Some of y'all are saying, I went to a wedding like that for you. I'm telling you, people are crazy. I watched a deal the other day. I couldn't believe it. I had to just about this man who is a professor, a highly educated man, but that his every day he went out on the road to find whatever was run over, and that's what he cooked and ate. He had all the money in the world. He was a professor in school, but he ate roadkill because he felt like he was giving back to society, giving back to the environment, that animal did not just rot, and that he used it for food, and therefore it, in the chain of life, it all went back. And I was like, well, what about buzzards? They gotta eat. I mean, you're not thinking too much. You're a professor. You didn't think, what about the buzzards? Somebody gotta eat. Worms gotta eat. And he had this run-over badger. I'm not joking to you. I saw it. He had this run-over badger that he had cooked up and was eating this badger. And I was like, dude, your education has made you mad. But they don't tell. They just tell themselves what's right. Okay? Fools don't listen to reasons. They don't listen to reasons. Now, I want to say this statement, and then I'll clarify this all at the end. Fools don't make it to heaven. They don't make it to heaven because they say there is no God. All right? The second thing that this present evil age is trying to get you to do, to go to the deer feeder, first thing is to become a fool. The second thing is to become a liar. Proverbs 19, 8 and 9 says, "He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. And he who keeps understanding will find good. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies shall perish." What he wants to do is when you enter into the realm of being a fool, the next thing that's going to happen to you is going to cause you to compromise what you really believe is true, and therefore it's going to cause you to have to be a liar. Okay? So when you get to go into the deer feeder, you get to eating all the corn, and you get hooked on that corn, I want to tell you something. Then, you know what happens? You start to become a fool, and on your road to being a fool, you become a liar. Look at John chapter 8, verse 44. Let me clarify this. John 8, 44 says, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you wanted to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Have y'all noticed the things going on that is even being evident in the news today? How many things are just absolutely bald-faced lies? And nobody will call anybody and stand up and just say, "You're a stinking liar." I mean, it's like I'm sitting there watching it thinking, does no one have any sense? How is this just getting brushed over? And how is this just getting overlooked? Where is honesty and integrity? I want to tell you what's happening. You're seeing the darkness of this present evil age, the delusion of becoming fools going over the hearts of people, and the delusion is going over them to where they're just like, oh, well, you know, it's not really, he didn't really lie. Maybe he misspoke, but he didn't lie. Are y'all with me? We got things going on today that people would have been impeached years ago in a huge scandal. And yet it just keeps going. Why? Because of the delusion. You got to understand this. Don't just sit here. Don't sit back and let yourself be fooled and think, well, everything's going to be okay. You know, it's going to change. No, folks, this is the present evil age. It's coming upon us. It's been here forever, it's growing strong, and it's all focused upon America right now because it's got to get rid of us, this remnant, this rebellious people. It's got to get rid of us because we stand in the way. We're the strainer in the pipe that stands in the way of darkness doing whatever darkness wants to do. And as long as we're standing right here, dadgum Christians are just in the way. And these ones that won't give up, I mean, we got to do something about them. I mean, the discussions going on in hell right now is just exactly that. We've got to get them out of the way. We've got them on the run. Let's get them, boys. Don't be deceived. Do not think this is about politics. Politics is a cover. Politics is just the thing that they're using, that the devil is using. It's about good and light. It's about darkness and light and good and evil. You say, are you calling those people? No, I'm just saying they're fools. They're listening to the bait that Satan's throwing out there. They've been eating under the corn feeder so long, they're just hooked on corn. You know, corn really doesn't do a deer any good. Do you know, it's so funny, we feed corn to all the animals, but do you know that corn seed, unless it's cracked and ground and mixed with other things, it doesn't do any animal any good. Corn goes in one ear, one way, and comes back out the same. Has to be processed, has to be ground up. That's why you have grinders. That's why you mix feed. Amen. I'm preaching right, Armour. Y'all agree with me here. So give me some head shakes. Right? So you feed them along, you bait them along until you can get them in their sights. Okay? And what happens is that it wants to take a fool, and a fool just becomes a liar. Because then he's got to promote the foolishness that he's believing. And if you're standing in the light and you're seeing it, you're like, what? That's a lie. And they're like, no, no, no. You might have misspoke a little bit. I don't mean to lie. Folks, I'm telling you, you can't reason with that. You can rebuke it, but you can't reason with it. I wrote this down. I said, liars are fools that have spoken to themselves so long that they are deceived and can no longer speak truth. Okay? Liars are fools that have spoken to themselves so long that they're deceived and they cannot speak truth anymore. Okay? So you say, man, that's not the truth. And you're arguing with this person, you're thinking, how can you do that? I tell you how they can do that. Because they've been a fool so long speaking to themselves, they've deceived themselves. And folks, you're not dealing with just the rational mind. You're dealing with deception. And then I want to make this statement, and I'll clarify this all at the end. Liars don't make it to heaven. The third one here, thieves. Fools, liars, and thieves. John chapter 10, verse 8 through 10. Jesus is speaking. He says, all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep, they did not hear them. I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they might have life, and they might have life more abundantly. When Jesus is speaking that, he is talking about the religious people of the day. He's talking about the people that are preaching the word, the religious people of the day, that what they're telling the people. He said, look, they're telling them lies. They're actually stealing from the people. They're stealing their joy. They're stealing their peace. They're stealing what really heaven will do for them if they would operate in the right principle. They're stealing it. Folks, listen to me. The darkness wants to steal from you. They're thieves because they want to steal what truly brings you joy. And that's your worship unto your God in liberty. They want to steal it. What's going on now in the present evil age wants to steal from you. They're thieves. They're thieves. In Luke chapter 19, verse 45 and 46, he's talking about Jesus. Then he went into the temple and began to drive those out who bought and sold in it, saying to them, it is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Folks, I'm really concerned about the religious community. I'm really concerned about what's going to happen shortly, which I believe will happen within a year, of what churches are really going to do. Because It's the duty of the church to preach the gospel. I preach and believe a good old-fashioned gospel that people need to repent and come to Jesus, give their lives to Him and be saved, and secure their place in heaven. It's pretty simple. That's what I believe. A good old-fashioned gospel. Give me that old-time religion. I believe we got to get in this day and time, we have to be very simple on what we do believe. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Heavenly Father. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We got to be, I believe the Word of God is true. I believe you can't take from it. I believe you can't dilute it. I believe the Word is life-giving. You have to know what you believe, church, because fools, liars, and thieves will want to steal from you and get you to compromise your belief. There's a few things I learned in the world. Number one is, if you're going in a fight, you better not show fear. You better not show fear. Because there's something about the other person that can smell fear. And when you smell fear, then you better go for it, because you're going to win. The only way to win a fight is to stand boldly up in the middle of it and know what you're standing for. And saying, I'm standing here and you're going to have to deal with me. I'm not backing off. I know what I believe. I know that what I believe is true, and I'm not compromising. I'm not giving up a bit. And I'm concerned that our religious world here in America is going to cater, is going to bow, is going to crumble, because they're not going to stick to an old-time gospel. They're going to bow to the knee of government in order to keep everything that they have. I believe it. We'll see. See if I'm right or not. And I believe that all of us are going to make a hard choice. I believe in 2013, you're going to make more hard choices than you've ever made before. All right? I believe that on one hand, things are going to look really good, but on the other hand, it's going to be forcing you to compromise. I believe that what Jesus just said there, that people have made His house a den of thieves, and they're stealing from the people and preaching fluff and preaching everything will be okay, don't worry about it. But I'm not going to. I can't. I can't. I've got to tell y'all what I believe is the truth, and when the day comes that I think we need to stand at the doors and fight, well, I'll be the first one standing in front of you. But I believe we got to fight for what's ours. I know the best way, I think, to deal with thieves. That's all I need to say. I wrote this down. It says, thieves are fools that have no way to control life but to take away from it. Thieves are fools that have no way to control life but to take away from it. Thieves don't just steal from others, they steal from themselves too. That's the stupid thing about thieves. What they don't understand is there's a lot of people out there in the world caught up in the deception, preaching the deception, that they don't realize that they're cutting their own throat. My last thing about thieves is the same as I said about the other two. Thieves don't make it to heaven. You say, well, how do you get that, Pastor? Well, go to Revelation chapter 21, verse 7. Revelation 21, 7. It says, and he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I've always been amazed at that scripture, because right there it says in when he starts to list them, it says the cowardly. And that's where I want to end this message right there. Folks, I want to tell you something. Today is not a day for us to be cowards. Today is not a day for us to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today is not a day for us to be ashamed of standing for righteousness and what is right. Today is not a day for backing up and wanting to hide our Bible. To say, well, you know, go ahead, do whatever you want to. Today's not a day to be a coward. In the next 4 years, you're going to be challenged more in your faith than you have ever believed to be true. Today is a day that we need to get rooted and grounded in what the Word of God says. We need to get rooted and grounded in our faith. We need to get rooted and grounded in what is going on. Today is a day that we need to be strong and we'll be able to tell others, listen, this is what I know to be true. How many of y'all have seen the old movie, The Alamo, the one that has John Wayne in it? If you haven't, shame on you. There's one part in the movie that everybody should have to see. We should be rehearsed over and over again. Is where they're about, they know it's the last day, they know they're about to get overtaken, and the old Tennessee guy standing there and everybody's saying, I don't believe there's a God. Every time when you're just going to die, we're just food for the worms. And the old man stands up and then there's that scene and the camera's just right and he says, I know one thing. I believe with all of my heart that there is a hereafter. And I'm like, that scene, just every time I see it, I'm just like, yeah, I stand up. Most people shout for like football games and things like that. I shout for movies like that. Yeah. And now's the day and time that we put our foot down, and when all of foolishness is being talked around us, we stand there and we say, no. You know, I believe in an old-fashioned gospel. I believe the Bible's true. I believe Jesus is real. I believe you better watch out because you've been eating under the feeder too long and you're going to get shot. Matter of fact, I think I can see a red dot on your head right there about to take you out. And all I can assure you is that myself and my family will stand. I'm not bowing my knee to anything. I'm not bowing my knee to any person on this earth. I bow my knee to Jesus, and that's it. I can't tell you everything that's going to happen because I don't know everything that's going to happen. But I know I'm smart enough to go back into history and look and see what has happened and can tell you that it's going to go down the same way. That I can tell you. And so, if they put a little more corn in the feeder and start throwing out twice as much, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. I'm not eating their corn. Watch out. Watch out. Amen? So I know you're going to do it. We're going to be strong. We're going to face the opposition that comes, but this is the thing I want to tell you, okay? You probably have never heard this from a preacher's mouth. Being that this is Thanksgiving, we just finished Thanksgiving, we all ate and we're with family and everything was good. I really believe that it's the Lord for me to tell y'all that you need to have a good Christmas. Just listen to this. I believe now is the time to catch your breath because we got a fight coming in January. I believe that you need to enjoy yourself right now. Listen, no matter what, I just want you to know, I love this fight because no matter what, I win. I win. There's no way. Shoot me, whoo, I'll go to heaven. You know what I'm saying? I win. If things really go real bad, you know, the next thing you know, the Antichrist is here. Rapture's going to take place. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. No matter what, I know where I'm headed. So I'm going to win, but You can get weary and tired in your soul. And now's the time I want to tell you, you need to just kick your feet up a little bit. You need to enjoy the presence of God. You need to enjoy your family. You need to enjoy your friends. You need to just catch your breath. Don't give up. Catch your breath, because there's going to be a fight come January. Now, I do want to say this. I want to tell you something, and I want to start announcing a little bit more and get y'all to help me. But, you know, in 2008, I guess, is when we started the Phineas Project. And we were fighting for what I called, I preached a message on the Phineas and who Phineas was in the Bible and whatever, and we called it the Phineas Project. And we were really fighting for abortion at that time. And it took us a while with Maggie, but we won, didn't we? And we're going to have to revive that program, because the only thing that I see that can really help us along is we have to keep Texas strong. Thank God you live in Texas. And we have to keep Texas strong. And we're coming in to this year of 2013 as a legislative session. And I'm going to be calling on y'all. We're going to go knock down some doors. We're going to knock on some doors. We're going to scream and holler that everybody knows what's going on and how we feel here in Central and South Texas. And I learned one thing then about politics. Politicians only listen to one thing. How many people are behind you? They don't really listen to dollars. It's kind of funny. You have to get really up into the big money before they'll start listening to dollars. Dollars don't impress them. People and votes scare them. And at that time, we ended up with about, 300-400 people that signed up for the Phineas Project. And then that was kind of the limit. It died off. And I'm going to need y'all to help me, because we're going to need to get every email address, every person that you know, and use all of y'all's too to push this thing to get it, because we need as many people behind us as we possibly can get. And we have to go to our Texas legislator, and we have to sit down, and we have to scream so loud that somebody's going to listen to us. And so I intend on doing that. If I got to go every week to Austin till they get so sick of seeing my face, I don't care what I got to do, but we've got to do it. Okay, we have to still play our part. So we got a lot of work ahead of us. So my word to you is, enjoy your December. Have a good Christmas. Go get a big Christmas tree. Put up some lights. Read your Bible a little bit more. Have a little bit, play some good old Silent Night in your house and enjoy the presence of God. You with me? Go ahead and just, you know, getting ready for the fight. Oh, just kind of get rested up, stretched up. You know, as I've gotten older in life, the one thing I've noticed, I always wondered why little old men hobble around so much and shuffle. It's because all your muscles just turn to rock or something. It's the darndest thing I've ever seen. I wake up in the morning, it takes me forever to get stretched out. I mean, if something jumped in the room and tried to chase me, might as well just eat me, man. I ain't going to be able to get up. It's like, oh, God, what is it? So it's kind of like that. So we need to take this month and a half, whatever we got left, or, you know, and kind of get your muscles worked out. Get all limbered up, because come January, we're going to fight. Amen? Amen. Well, stand to your feet. Look at the person beside you and say, man, I love a good fight. Can I have my prayer team come down, my pastoral team? Listen, if you're here today and you need prayer, we're here for you. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, oh my goodness, do not walk out that door until you come down here and talk to one of these people. You need to know Jesus today. He's the answer for everything. Amen? So look to the person on your left and then look to the person on the right and say, hey, you know Jesus? If you're not sure, come on down. But listen to me. We're here to pray with you. We're here to just be here and to believe God of miracles is going to move in your life. Amen? And I'm telling you, church, though I may have painted a bleak future, I'm telling you it's going to be a good one, because we'll have some fun. We'll have some fun. I like a good fight. And I got to tell you all this. You may be going to the wrong church if what I'm saying scares you, but don't. It's in my destiny. I'm telling you, it's hard to understand, but it's in my destiny. God made me a fighter. I don't understand why my parents are godly people. Love, they never put me outside and made me box or chase me around the house with a bat or nothing. They love me, and I don't know how I ended up like this other than the destiny of God. But I can still remember in the first grade, my friends were playing, and we had a new kid, and one of the friends was playing with a little blue airplane. I can still remember like it was yesterday. And the bully came up and pushed him to the ground, knocked him in the dirt, and took that blue airplane. And I don't even remember thinking about what I was doing. I just went right over there and busted that kid's nose, took that airplane back, gave it to my friend. Horrible thing. I was just a first grader. What was in me? I mean, it wasn't like I was a crazy, repressed, horrible child. I had a great childhood. But I just don't like to see an underdog getting beat. And I don't like, I'm just going to fight. And so I'm just telling you, we're going to have some fun. It's going to be good. And we're going to win. Amen? Amen. Well, take that person's hand beside you. And Father, I just declare right now in the name of Jesus, I just pray over this whole congregation, Lord, that this whole month of going into Christmas and celebrating your birth, this is a great time for us all, Lord. That there's just blessings, that there's refreshing, that there's excitement, that there's joy. And Lord, we just get refreshed and stirred down in our souls. Because Jesus, come the time that we need to, we're going to fight. We're going to fight for what's right. We're going to fight for you, Jesus. And we all bow our knee to no one but you. And Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you for your power, Lord, and the privilege to serve you. So Lord, bless them as we go. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.